And we're going to read a chapter here out of Luke chapter 11 regarding him teaching us to pray. Jesus prayed with such earnestness. He prayed with such agony. He prayed with such feeling. He prayed with such power that the disciples, in listening to him, they realized that they needed help with their prayer life. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of us could say today, we need help with our prayer life? Did you know prayer can do anything that God can do, and God can do anything? The secret of all failure is a failure of secret prayer. There is a throne. It's not a throne of judgment now. Thank God it's a throne of grace, where the God of all grace is seated on that throne. And he bids us. He not only bids us, but he made a way that we could approach that throne through the blood of his only begotten Son. He crucified his own Son. It pleased God to bruise him when he made his soul an offering for our sins and opened up access. The veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. And us, though undeserving, without merit, we can approach that throne boldly. He said, come boldly to a throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that good? Let's read, as those disciples heard him pray and ask him to teach them to pray. We'll focus a little bit on the middle of this as God helps us. And so you pray that God will give us the gift of brevity. Say amen right there. I must have at least 3 or 4 hours swelled up my heart about this, but we know that can't happen. So let's pray for condensation. Amen. Luke 11. And it came to pass as he was praying. Wouldn't that have been good? You know, when we gathered a while ago to pray, the Bible said where 2 or 3 are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. Somewhere in the shadows, Jesus knelt and prayed with us. The great intercessor, one who ever lives to make intercession for us. He came down among us, and while we called on him, he called on the Father. He called to God. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door's now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I send you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I send you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I want us to focus on the part of the Lord's teaching as he's teaching his disciples to pray. I want our main focus to be in the central portion of this scripture. I want us to look here and see, starting with verse number 5, some lessons he teaches here as the friend comes to his friend at midnight and comes that he might have bread at his house. I'm going to talk about for a while going from nothing to all you need. Let's identify this in the passage. Look in the latter part of verse number 6. This friend said to his friend as he went and begged bread, I have nothing to set before him. You see that? And then we find down here after that, in the latter part of verse number 8, he said, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So this friend started out by admitting he had nothing that he might share with his friend. But before it's all over, he has all he needs. Isn't that good? That we can come to the Lord as nothing. I'm talking about myself. I'm nothing without him. We can come to him as nothing. We can come to him not being able to do anything. He said, without me you can do nothing. And we can literally come to him empty-handed and barren with nothing. And we can leave with everything that we need. Oh, would to God, not the message, not the preacher, but would to God that the Lord would do that in our hearts today. Maybe you come here and you're empty. You feel empty inside. Just like we had to pull up to a gas station on the way down here and get some fuel. From time to time, you see that old car running on fumes. And maybe you come into service today, and because of this world of wickedness and because of the sin around you and because of the tempter and because of the weakness of the flesh, it could be that you come in here feeling empty today. But I got good news, thank God. You can go from nothing to all you need before we ever say amen and dismiss this service. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why? Because I know a man who can. Amen. He's wanting to help us. Why would he want us to gather together to sing these songs and worship him? And then him just let us pour out all that adoration and all that praise upon him. And then in return, him not do something for us and in us that would make a difference in our lives. He loves us. Hey, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? I want to say to you, I want this to get in your mind before I ever go any farther and trying to expound a little bit on this text. I want this to go in your mind that you can leave this service today different than what you came in. The Lord Jesus is here, and he's here to help us. He's here for us to worship him, true. But he wants to help us more than we even want help. He wants to help us. And so if you just open up your heart, if you just let him do it, he's wanting to do it. He's not going to force himself upon anyone, but he's wanting, first of all, he's wanting us to see a need in our life, and then he's wanting to feel that need and satisfy the deepest longings in our heart and supply all that we need. Wouldn't it be good to leave here? Thank God, leave this service and have all that we need. Amen. I've got to go. Ron has got to go. She'll minister down there to ladies down there in Nicaragua. She ministers where she goes. And she'll need to have something from Jesus that she might be able to supply a channel through which the Lord can give them and meet their need. And I need the same thing. And I need help. And thank God the Lord's put us in this place where he wants to help us today. He wants to help us. And so we're just going to look at this very briefly and identify three individuals in this scripture and see if we can learn something about them. The first one I want to identify, you'll find it here in verse number 5. I call this a person the friend with a capital F. Do you understand? Do you have your text? Do you see the scripture in verse number 5? Can you see what it said right here? It said, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, that's a little F, and shall go unto him at midnight and send him friend. There it is. The friend with a capital F. Lend me three loaves. Suppose a friend with a capital F is in this scripture right here. Say it out loud. It is none other than the Lord Jesus. None other than the Lord Jesus. Listen, Jesus doesn't have the answer. He is the answer. He is the answer. He is everything that we need. I love to hear Brother Frank sing that song, don't you? He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all you need. He's all any of us needs. Thank God, he don't only have bread, Joanne. He is the bread. He is the manna sent down from heaven, thank God. He is the one, if we partake of him, we'll have everlasting life. He is the one, when we feast upon him and feast with him, thank God, we have then everything that our soul could desire. Everything that we need is in him, thank God. In him, he's everything. Anytime, I'm talking about any time that you need anything, thank God, all you and I have to do is to run away to him. Amen. Thank God he has what we need. He has everything that we can ever need. There'll never be a need in your life or my life but what he does not have the means and the desire to supply what we need. Amen. I'll guarantee you that so. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so anytime, anything, and anyone. I like that so good. It said down there, it said in verse 10, everyone. Could you put your name right there? I mean, why don't you just take a pencil or a pen and out beside that, just write in your name. So that sometime when the devil is sort of beating you up and the hounds of hell's hanging on your coattail and you feel like there ain't much way you're going to get through the day or the night so long, why don't you just sometime turn over that place in Luke chapter number 11 and see what the Lord said and see where he said, everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that seeketh findeth. Everyone that knocketh it shall be opened. Thank God that includes you and me. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not worthy. I'm definitely not worthy. It's not a throne of merit we're going to. If it was a throne of merit, none of us could go, thank God. But hallelujah, it's a throne of mercy and a throne of grace, amen, where we can obtain unmerited favor and find grace to help in the time of our need, amen. Thank God it's available for us and the Lord has made a way that we could come. And so thank God here is then a friend with a capital F that we can go to anytime. We can go for anything and anyone can go. And always, thank God, the door's going to be open to us. always because of God's mercy and His grace to us. Amen. And thank God for the friend with a capital F. Do you know him today? The friend with a capital F. I'm glad I know him. I'm glad he has a place where we can go knock on his door. Thank God. Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? And then we'll identify another individual in this particular passage. Did you like the friend with a capital F? Amen. Amen. I love him today. I thank God for all his benefits in my life and in your life. But let's look now at the friend in need. Now here's the story. Here the man's at the house. It's midnight hour. No doubt in my mind he's in the bed. He's probably not sitting up watching late night TV. Say amen right there. He's probably in the bed so he can get up early and pray the next morning. Say amen right there. Come on, got you. He's at the house. It's time to be asleep. And no doubt this fella's asleep. Amen. And comes a knock on his door. And what would you do if you was asleep and just been asleep about 3 or 4 hours and just in deep sleep and you heard somebody rapping on your door? Might sort of startle you, might sort of wonder, who in the world is that? And might alarm you, might scare you a little bit. Wonder who that is. Wonder if there's bad news outside that door. And you go and you go and open that door, and when you open that door, you see a friend, one of your friends, somebody you know. He's been on a journey. He'd been traveling. And no doubt in my mind, this is no doubt in my mind, that friend, as he traveled, getting hungrier and hungrier. No doubt in my mind that he's got a definite destination point he's coming to. No doubt. And as he journeys and makes his way closer and closer and closer, he feels in his heart hope spring up as he comes inside of his friend's house. Because he understands and feels in his heart, when I get there, everything's going to be all right. Will you listen? Harmony. Outside these walls, these friends in need, they're on a journey through life. It's a tough journey, especially if you don't know Jesus. It's a hard journey. They're perishing. They're so hungry. They're trying to fill up that void with drugs, drink, sex, money, you name it. Fill in the blank. Matter of fact, they're so hungry, they'll eat anything the devil offers them. They're traveling destitute. They're traveling desperate. They're looking for someplace, somewhere, where somebody's got something to satisfy. And everything they've ever tried never did satisfy. And they make their way, and they hear of a place over there in Harmony, thank God, where the babe from Bethlehem, the house of bread, where Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is. And they can come to the gospel feast over at Harmony. And they're making their way. And more is going to make their way. I feel like as long as this pastor is here preaching like he's preaching, as long as you're here praying like you're praying around this altar in special prayer, I feel like that there's a special, special word going to go out across this area to those who are destitute and those who are desperate and those who are longing and hungry. I feel like they're going to hear about it and they're going to come and press their way toward this house and stand outside the door there and then come in to receive something. They need something. No doubt in my mind that, see, here's what I know. I've been preaching long enough, been walking with the Lord, been praying and talking to Him long enough to know that He don't lie. And the Holy Ghost knows somebody here that needs this today. Somebody here is empty. Somebody here is hungry. Somebody here is not satisfied on the inside. And Jesus Christ is available to you. And so we have here a friend with a capital F, but we have this friend in need. He's got a need. And somebody in this congregation's got a need, or the Holy Ghost wouldn't have me preaching this message. Why would God waste our time on this thought without somebody here who needs it? That don't make sense, does it? And it's true. We need it. And this hungry man came. He's needing bread. And I believe that he's got enough. I believe he's got enough boldness to say to his friend, I'm hungry. If you came into a friend's house at midnight and you've been traveling, and I believe when sinners comes in here, those who come in here that are not saved, you know what I believe they're saying to us? I believe they're saying, I'm hungry. I'm empty. I'm perishing. I need some help. They're coming to us. They're looking upon what I have to say. They're listening to what you have to say and how you greet and love them and care for them. They want to know, can I find some help over that harmony? Would the word go out miles and miles around that here's a place where the perishing can come, thank God, and receive bread of life and live forever? Isn't that good? A friend in need. Do you have a friend? Sure you do. Because you're friendly. And the Bible identifies, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And you're friendly. I don't reckon I've met a Scrooge near a Grouch in here. I think he all seems to like me. And if you can like me, praise God, you can like anybody. Amen. And so you've got friends, and some of them are lost. Some of them are looking to you. Somebody wants to get some bread at your house in their journey. And so here's a friend in need. A friend in need. And then we want to identify a third friend here. We saw the friend with a capital F. We saw a friend in need. We see here then the friend with a barren cupboard. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? I don't know why his cupboard was completely barren. I don't know why he didn't at least have a crust nor a crumb. I know this. As a preacher, there's been times in my life when I let the devil, bless God, rob me of every crust and crumb in my life, and I was empty. There's been times. You say, I wouldn't have said that. You're not preaching. Honest confession, good for the soul. I didn't want it that way, Joanne. I won't always be full. I always want to be just a running over. I'm talking about out of my belly flowing rivers of living water, and every time I open my mouth, the bread of heaven going out like manna across, bless God, the people. That's what I want. But I'll tell you this, sometime because of sin, sometime because of my sorriness, and sometime because of my slackness, and sometime because of my lack of prayer, and sometime because of lack of my availing myself of all the things that the Lord has for me, sometimes I've been empty. And that's what happened this time. God forbid that there's ever a stranger, a friend, or anyone who comes to Harmony and opens the door and walks in that they don't find, thank God, some bread and some fullness here, thank God. Don't let them ever come in here and it be empty and vain. Always have a whole time Holy Ghost worship. Have old time Holy Ghost preaching. Always have old time Holy Ghost praising God and a singing the old songs of Zion and a shouting praise God and listen to these musical instruments playing the Holy Ghost and praising God around here, thank God. If you ever get the joy of the Lord your strength, and it's got drawing power. Always have a full house. If it's not full of people, bless God, get it full of the praise of the Lord, and it won't be long till the house will fill up with people, amen. If we glorify and magnify Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And our hearts are full of praise to the Lord. Thank God He'll bring people in here who are empty to get some of that. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be barren. God forbid that I spend the money that you worked hard for and given with love and prayer. God forbid. And I'll set my foot off of any plane anywhere and not be full of the Holy Ghost of God and not be full of the gospel and be ready, bless God, any time if I'm slapped or if I'm beaten or if I'm cussed or discussed. Thank God that the joy of the Lord won't come out of my heart and the grace of God come out of my mouth and the living God, bless God, touch the people through my life. I want that more than I want my next breath. I want that. I'd rather die and go on to be with the Lord before I finish this message and to go somewhere and not have compassion, want to help the dear people and to be empty and my cupboard bare. Is your cupboard bare? You say, no, preacher. Over at the house, we got right much good meat in that freezer. Over at the house, we got right much good canned goods in that pantry. Over at the house, we got right much good dry goods and cereals and stuff, and we've got something to drink over our house. We've got all we need over our house. I'm not talking about that. I was talking, and matter of fact, I went with him, and when he helped us gather stuff for the auction, Brother Ken Perdue up at Antioch Baptist Church on 421, Brother Frank knows him. He's on the board of Mustard Seed Global Evangelistic Ministries we started. And we went around on a route with a borrowed van that a Christian man lets him use, and we gathered stuff for the auction, and then we took it and unloaded it where the auction was going to be, and then we went by the Winston-Salem Food Bank, and we went around and gathered those boxes and loaded on that van. And I understand that yesterday, when they had their food giveaway at Antioch, there's about 171, I believe it's 171, 170-some families that were destitute, that were hungry, as best they can identify them. Of course, there's some crooks in the bunch, you know that. But you can't, because the crooks not feed them, it has to need. And so just go ahead and let the Lord sort that out. And so when 170-some families come yesterday to Antioch, they give away several hundreds and hundreds of pounds of food because they had made provision and they had prepared for those that is hungry. Can I say this to you? Can I say it to you from a humble heart? Put aside something. Take off a few hours from work. Don't watch the television. Do something. Purpose in your mind this morning that when the prayer meeting is here, I'm not talking about the instruction from the Bible. I'm not talking about His wonderful teaching on Wednesday night. When you gather together to get on your face before God here together, where two of you agree touching anything, God will answer. Come to the prayer meeting. You say, preacher, I don't know how to pray. Come and just sit before the Lord. Come and just sit there. Lift your hands. Open your mouth wide. He'll feel it. Come just wait on the Lord. Until God Almighty fills this place with glory and power. Until it's transformed into a different church than it's ever been before. Come to the prayer meeting and sit here. Make provision. Fill the house up with bread. Let the bread be dripping out the windows and out the doors. Let it be running over. Let the pantry be full. Don't let sinners come anywhere within miles around this church and not feel a drawing power as the revival fires are burning here. I tell you how you can get a crowd over here at Harmony Church. Set the building on fire. You say, you're crazy, preacher. I know I'm a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. They said there's an old infidel. Bless God, one time the church house did catch on fire. And said that old infidel was standing there with the crowd and seen him try to put it out, and all the friends in the fire departments and everything are working. And somebody sidled over to him and said, I never seen you in church before. He said, I never seen it on fire before. Yeah. Does God lie? How many of you will stand up and have the guts to stand up and call God a liar? The Jesus who died for your sins and mine lie. You ain't got the grit to stand. Does the Holy Ghost lie? He's the Spirit of truth. And my Bible said, he answered prayer. I had need. I've got need. I've got need all the time. I challenge some of you to help meet the need for India when we need $15,000. Make it a project. I ain't got time to fool with it, but the Lord got somebody who cares. But I had need. I was a praying the other morning early, waiting on God. I don't know how to pray neither, but I know how to cry. I know how to open my mouth wide. I know how to wait on God. Asking God, and I was asking him, I felt like I needed $1,000. At least $1,000. And sitting there praying, and I felt like God heard me, and I had peace like a river running down in my soul. And before the day was over, the phone called, and the man said, you don't worry about no money. He said, I got $1,000 going to put in that account. Well, I ain't worried about it. Matthew 6:33 is my life verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. I am concerned about something. I'm concerned about being holy on the inside. I'm concerned about being righteous. I know I have his imputed righteousness, but I'm talking about being practical righteous. Whereas the righteousness that's on the inside comes out on the outside. My members are yielded as instruments of righteousness. And I do right. I do right. Because he made me right. I'm going to shut up. I'm over here in the last point. I went from the friend with a capital F, Jesus, to the friend in need, which is all around us. And I got down to where we're living at now. The friend with a barren cupboard. Is your cupboard bare spiritually? If somebody comes to you, I want to ask you this question. You know, 9 times out of 10, when somebody's lost, we'll run and get the preacher. Because a preacher can give him bread. God have mercy on a Christian person that don't know how you got bread and could tell somebody else where to find it. You know what witnessing is? It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I'll never forget over here in India, Obed and myself and his wife's sister Roshan. We're going north for about 16 hours on the train to ride back in yonder in remote areas and preach Jesus to the heathen. Our team done been sent on ahead on another train to prepare things before us. And Joanne was sitting at the train station, and there's a big old round concrete column where steel was running down into it and is helping hold up the structure along the railroad track, the steel structure of shelter. And Bags is sitting there, and there was a little old Indian girl, had a little old naked brother or sister, a little old bitty naked brother or sister in her right hand. And she come up to me, and she seen this old big ugly white man there, and that sweet little old Indian girl, little old Hindu girl, she come up and did this. I knew she wanted something to eat for her and her little brother or sister. I don't remember which it was. I didn't look close which it was. Just a little naked baby. And I thought to myself, I didn't have a single rupee on me. I didn't want to travel with no rupees so that I could honestly say if somebody wanted to rob me on that train, I could honestly say, I don't have no money. And they were taking care of that. But I thought in my bag before I left, I had got some of these little old round peanut butter nabs, little crackers, in the pack from Walmart. And I had several of them in that bag. And I thought about them. And I went and unzipped that carry-on bag, and I took two of them out, and I gave that little girl two of them for her and her little brother or sister. And oh, how the smile broke out on her face. And she knew that I'd given her something to eat because she was hungry. I had something for her. And I'll never forget, we're standing there, and all of a sudden over yonder, several feet away, I heard, and they're talking wide open in Telugu. And that little old girl is over there telling one of her buddies that that old big white man right there has got bread. He's got something to eat. It wasn't no time, Joanne. Yonder come a little old boy. Amen. Little old boy had a Hindu idol sitting right here. A little old shelf right here hung around his neck like a necklace, and had a little idol sitting right there. And he looked up, done this to me. I gave him some bread. Wasn't no time to let little booger one of them. And yonder come another. Amen. See, what had happened, they'd found out where they could get something to eat. And the only thing they had to do, in the only language they knew, and their vocabulary wasn't that big, it was about like this, but they knew just exactly how to tell where they got help. Are you saved? God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. If you got born again, and the Holy Ghost come in, and you ate that bread from heaven, and you don't know how to tell somebody else where to find it, you don't have to run and get the preacher. Suppose on your way home that a car is turned over and somebody's laying there dying and you're the only one can get to them. And while they still got understanding and still got life, you could ask them, you saved? And they say no. You'd tell them how to get bread before they died. It's an urgent thing, boy, to know and to have a pantry full. Amen. Sure as we're in this building, somebody, church member or not, I believe you need to get saved in this service. You need to come get bread. And so, are you a friend that your cupboard's bare? Are you unprepared? Are you empty? You're wanting and willing to help, but you just, now you're empty. You've come to the right place. You've come to the right time. You've come to the right person. Not me, but him. Humble yourself. This man who went and knocked on his friend with a capital F that knocked on his door at midnight, he humbled himself. He's going to have to make a confession. He's going to have to say to his friend, I was unprepared. He coming. I need to give him something. And I'm empty. I'm empty. How many of you Christians here, you honestly could say this morning, yeah, I can't say that now. You could honestly say now, I'm empty. Humble yourself. Go to your friend with a capital F. Beseech him. Trouble him. He said, I'm in the bed. My family's in the bed. I have nothing. I can't do it. Said, trouble me not. And then he rose. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Receive all you need.